WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And thank you for tuning in. This is 90.7 The Capstone. My name is Brady Grogan. I'm joined here with my co-host, Connor Rolls, and this is the student section. How are you doing tonight, Connor?
I think we can all guess, but I'm doing quite swell.
The Philly fan over here feeling himself after a big week of Philly sports.
Yes, I mean, last night was a good but also tough night with us losing again in the World Series. So we're down 3-2, but we did get that win in Houston to make us 8-0, the Eagles. But I'm a little torn right now. I don't know what to feel.
I mean, in my opinion, I feel like the World Series is slightly more important than a regular season game against the Texans.
Slightly, just slightly.
Just a little bit, you know. But, I mean, you got to be feeling a little bit good for just being in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, we were never supposed to be there. I mean, you look at the changes they made this playoffs. We were not supposed to make the playoffs because they added the extra playoff spot. So without that change, we would never be here. And thankfully they did, and we were able to get hot and get to the World Series.
And I think the Phillies got the whole world behind them right now.
Yes,
because everyone hates the Astros.
Exactly, exactly.
This is like the one time as a Boston fan I'll root for Philly, just because the Astros are just I feel like it's just the, like they have to be, I'd say, like the most hated team in like American sports.
Easily.
Like, it's kind of comical too, because I feel like people who don't even follow baseball will just like hop on the hate the Astros train at this point.
Oh yeah, I remember Patrick Beverly was on a podcast and they asked him who he was rooting for, and he said the Houston Astros because he used to play there. And someone said, "Did you know they cheated?" I was like, "Oh, I did not know that, but since they did, let me root for Phillies." So I feel like everyone's behind the Philadelphia train, and for good reason.
Yep, and then so let's talk about football. The Eagles last night, they advanced now 8-0 on the season. It's been incredibly impressive for them so far. Jalen Hurts is continuing his MVP candidacy level of play.
Yeah.
His completion percentage is up. He's finding his receivers way better spots. I feel like the season, the A.J. Brown addition this year, definitely paying off for the Eagles.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, you can just tell how much an elite receiver can change for your either culture or just your quarterback. So, I mean, we all knew they were best friends coming into the season when they first got traded. You saw them on FaceTime. And we were just hoping it would translate with them being best friends. And so far, so good. He's been having a monster year so far, both of them.
And I feel like, this is kind of funny to say, but I feel like the Eagles' passing game can, like, still get better. Like, I feel like Devontae Smith a little bit has been, I don't want to say left behind, because I feel like he's still doing all right this year in the situation he's in. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they can involve him even more and let Jalen Hurts kind of throw the ball downfield even more than they have already.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, Jalen Hurts, he's been taking large steps to get better and better, either with his vision or his just throwing mechanics. But he is, like, there are multiple games where he, like, I don't want to say locks onto a target, but, I mean, you look at the game against Washington, he just locked on to Devontae Smith, and he had, 150-something yards receiving. And, I mean, we're still waiting for Quez to be Quez and get that deep ball. But then you look at A.J. Brown, and he's having these monster games with 3 touchdowns, also 150-something yards receiving. He had that twice. And last night looked like it was a Dallas Goedert game. Dallas Goedert was eating last night. I mean, he was the leading receiver with 8 receptions and 100 yards with a touchdown. So there's definitely some promise with this passing offense, and I think they can get better.
I wasn't saying it wasn't promise. I was more saying I feel like they can up their ceiling. I feel like it can get even more explosive than it already is, because they have, I mean, Goddard last night shows that he can be a legit, like, receiving option. And then A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, like, those are just, like, two guys, route running guys, who can just get wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's just weird to say for an 8-0 team that I feel like I'm not seeing, like, the whole picture, like, at the end of the season that we're going to see from this team.
Yeah, so I still think we can get a lot better. Like you were saying, mm-hmm. There's what really gave me a lot of, like, hope was the Eagles. They usually start off as a hot team. We all know them for their second quarter, like their ability to score points and stuff like that. First quarter, they always come out hot, but last night it was a little kind of a rough start for them. So it was a tie. It was a tie game going into halftime. And the second half, when we have been pretty bad so far this season, they were able to pull away and only allow 3 points. So that gives me hope that we can put it together eventually and play a full game. And when we were able to play a full game, I think we might be very, very scary.
Yeah, this team definitely has the potential. I feel like there's been some talk in the media, especially after this game, about like the undefeated season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get off that train a little bit. I feel like I don't want to set the expectations that this team can go, what is it, 17-0?
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't think that's in the cards for them. I don't think they really should want to go 17-0, because I'm not saying you want to lose, but I wouldn't put so much pressure on yourself to like win every regular season game, because I feel like a lot of time it's kind of weird to say like the best regular season team doesn't normally win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we look at the Steelers a couple years ago when they started 11-0 and how they just crumbled.
And that entire time they were 11-0, everyone was saying how this is like the worst 11-0 team they've ever seen.
Yeah, they were playing not really great competition. But you look at the Eagles' competition so far this season, yes, it's not been the greatest. We get that. But they have played some formable opponents, such as the Cowboys, who people say, hey, it was Cooper Rush. They played a backup quarterback, but they were still 5-1 when they played. So you can't really say, oh, it was just a backup quarterback. They were a good team then.
And I mean, that Minnesota win is probably
the Minnesota the best win is very, very big, because people love to bring up the games against like the Jaguars or the Steelers or the Texans, but they don't want to bring up the 6-1 Vikings, who we completely shut down. So I think we have some good little opponents on our schedule, but I don't see us winning 17 games, only because we're gonna probably get to like when we're able to clinch the division or clinch the conference, we're going to start resting our players and have them ready for playoffs. So I do see us losing maybe a game or two, but not because we actually lost it, but because we rested our players.
They have a stretch where they go Green Bay, Tennessee, Giants. And just those three games, I feel like they're going to lose one of them. I just feel like one of those, like it just like in the NFL, it kind of just happens. Like you can be the better team and you can still just like kind of lose a game, and that's like kind of all right. And I feel like one of those three games just isn't going to go their way eventually.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. We'll see. But I'd still give us a chance. Green Bay's not looking good, and we still don't know about the Giants and the Titans.
Let's flip the script now to the Texans last night. So the Texans, what are they now? 1-6-1 on the season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been pretty bad.
But we expected that.
This is like, it's going exactly how they wanted it to go, I feel like. Like, I feel like if they had, like, in their, like, vision of how the season's going, they're going, we're going to be bad. We know Davis Mills is not going to – they don't want Davis Mills as their quarterback next year. It's like, don't get hooked onto him, because he's definitely not going to be there. They're going to draft their quarterback with, like, their second or third pick, whatever they get. And I feel like it's going exactly as they want this season.
Yeah, there's really not been a lot to look forward to with this team so far. Besides, I would say their rookies with Devin Singletary, who's had a pretty good rookie season. And Damian Pierce, who was my pick for Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. And Damian Pierce so far is fourth in the league in rushing with 678 yards. So I think they are very, very pleased on the way he's playing right now. But other than that, they just don't look good at all.
No, I mean, I think Damian Pierce running back, sets a good foundation for next year. So next year, your quarterback who's coming in is going to have a good running game to go, which I think helps any young quarterback. The receivers, Brandon Cooks is there, and hopefully they'll still be there next year. I'm not sure the contract situation exactly on that, but maybe you bring in some young guy. All of a sudden next year, they have a young quarterback, young running back, and young wide receiver, and I feel like that team could definitely revamp for next year easily.
Yeah, hopefully John Mechie's back by then. I know he's battling, I forget what kind of cancer, but it's a very curable one, and hopefully he's doing good, but he should be back soon, and I'm really excited about that.
They should bring in our guy,
Bryce Young.
I can't believe I just blanked on Bryce Young's name for a second. That's so embarrassing. But they should bring in Bryce. I mean, if they're putting themselves in a spot where they could draft Bryce Young, because right now they're in consideration for the top pick. I think it's with the Lions, I want to say. Let me check on that real quick. Yeah, the Lions. So they're fighting with the Lions for the first overall pick. And if the Lions, I guess I'll ask you this question. If the Lions get the first overall pick, are they drafting a quarterback?
Ooh, I think they might have to go defense again, because they have the worst defense in the league statistically. And they need to get like someone that can be able to make a difference. Aiden Hutchinson's kind of having I don't want to say down year, but he's not having the year he expected.
Yeah, I was going to say the expectations were there for him to be this instant impact hustle mm-hmm. player, but he's just kind of not lived up to that.
Yeah, I feel like they could use another position at wide receiver. They definitely need a new quarterback, but I feel like Jared Goff is playing his role well enough to where they're able to score some points. But that defense is just hard to watch. I remember I saw a stat the other day when they were playing the Cowboys, and they're the only team in the NFL back then that when the offense got in the red zone, they scored every time. So it's not a good look for that defense, and I don't even really know what to think besides they need some help.
Yeah, because the problem is right now they're the third-ranked offense for yards per mm-hmm. game. So a part of it is like the offense is not the problem. But I feel like also when you're in that like first overall spot, like, and there's like a quarterback that's a generational talent that's available there, it feels like you kind of like have to take him a little bit.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they either like trade down or out of that, or if they – I just don't know what they do, like what the plan is moving forward. Because I feel like with Jared Goff, a quarterback, like – sure, he's going to be all right,
mm-hmm.
but you're never going to be great.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's always tough when you're like when you have so many holes to fill and you're drafting the number one overall position, because you can have the generational talent QB like Bryce Young, which, or CJ Stroud, one of the two, or you could really just, your offense is number third in the league, your defense is the worst. I feel like it's just, I don't know. Best player available might be the pick, so I might be changing my answer to quarterback. There's just so many holes, I don't even know what to think.
Yeah, I mean, this team is definitely... And the thing with defenses is you can't normally just stick one player in, mm-hmm. and it's like, hey, the defense is good now. We put him there. Like, there's just... It's a burning ship. It's all going down.
It's like the Titanic.
Very true, very true.
So I was going to say, not to get back off, I'm going to go back to the game last night, and one of the... I don't think anyone's mentioned his name just yet.
Mm-hmm.
The trade really went under the radar, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson was traded for a fifth-round pick from the New Orleans Saints to the Philadelphia Eagles. He was a great slot corner. He played safety at Florida, and people were thinking, oh, this is not going to work because he's playing safety. Well, he got his fifth interception last night, which is first in the league, and he's also tied 18th. In pass deflections, which is, it's cool, but
it's cool, you know.
He is looking like he's one of the better safeties in the league right now. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think it definitely was I feel like the Eagles have won like a lot of trades mm-hmm. like in the past year. Like, I feel like if we go back to kind of all the moves they've made, it's like, yep, they won that one, they won this one. And it's just like, I mean, I think that's why the roster is so good this year.
Yeah,
I think they've won so many of the moves they've made.
Yeah, I feel like whenever like Howie Roseman calls a team, I feel like there's part of me that they don't want to pick up the phone
because
they know they're going to get fleeced.
Send him to voicemail. Whatever this guy, whatever player he's interested in, do not give him up because he's going to work with the Eagles.
He's going to give up a fifth round pick for like an all pro type player. So I don't know if you ever want to answer that phone, but it's looking like it's really working right now.
So we do have to go to break real quick. When we come back, we'll be going over our locks and upsets for next week, and then further digesting the NFL trade deadline. This has been the Field Country.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
The capstone, you're back with the Soon section. My name is Brady, this is Connor Rolls, and now it's time to get into the rest of the NFL trade deadline, the moves that went down. Connor, do you have a favorite trade you want to talk about first?
So there's been my favorite trade would probably be the TJ Hockenson trade to the Vikings. That one was very surprising to me. I was kind of blown away that it actually happened. I wasn't hearing any rumors about it, so when I first saw it, I was like, whoa, that's interesting. But if you look at it, the Vikings, they lost Irv Smith for like 10 weeks with an ankle sprain. So I didn't know that until they got TJ Hockenson. And TJ Hockenson with that offense is going to be very deadly. If Kirk Cousins can just play football, I think that offense could really carry him to a number two seed. So I think that was probably my favorite.
I like that trade a lot. The trade, I think it proves that the Vikings are kind of, they kind of see it that the NFC is weak this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're kind of trying to capitalize that as much as possible.
Yeah.
And obviously the best way to make a Kirk Cousins-led team possibly a contender is to just surround him with as many weapons as you possibly can. So I like that trade a lot. I like it for both of them because I think the Lions knew they weren't going to pay TJ Hockenson the money
mm-hmm.
that like was going to like be required of them to keep him. He didn't really fit the timeline. They weren't going to like put that much money into that into a tight end that didn't really fit with them. So I think it made sense for both teams.
Yeah. What was your favorite trade?
One trade that kind of confused me a little bit was the Chase Claypool trade to the Bears. Mm-hmm.
That one confused me a lot. I wasn't expecting it.
I didn't love it for the Bears. I feel like a second rounder for Chase Claypool was just
kind of crazy.
It didn't make sense to me like that much at all. You're gonna have to pay him soon, so like that didn't make sense to me. It feels like I would have rather them just like drafted a wide receiver to play next to Fields.
Yeah, this season's kind of already a throwaway, so this I don't know why you would
throw away. I don't think Claypool, because you see these guys where it's like, oh yeah, you match up this receiver with your young quarterback and like Stephon Diggs on stuff, but Chase Claypool is nowhere close to that good
at receiver. All. He had a couple good games, but
he has a couple good games, but he's not gonna like come in. And just all of a sudden, Justin Fields and Chase Claypool are putting up like 100 yards like every game together because they're just meshing that well. Like he's not that kind of receiver. So to me, it didn't really make sense to just make that move for just like a small piece in my mind.
So what was your that was your most surprising trade?
I was just confused, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it didn't make sense for the Bears to make that move.
Yeah, it's crazy mind. To think about because this was like the busiest trade deadline we've ever had. 10 trades in one day. Or, yeah, 10 trades in one day. And I remember I was watching, I think it was ESPN Get Up or something like that. And Adam Schefter was talking about, don't expect a lot of trades today. And I don't really know what I can believe from him now because
it felt like the NBA trade.
It really did.
Like,
People were just getting traded left and right.
And I remember you guys were talking about it. It's because of those conditional picks that they how like there's like 60 picks in the fourth round now that these teams have more capital to move, and it's like these good teams that are losing players that are having the capital to then trade these picks away. So I think that's why we're seeing more of these trades.
Yeah, I think the team that I think had the best day was easily the Miami Dolphins, being able to get Bradley Chubb and Jeff Wilson.
The Jeff Wilson one I thought was a kind of a steal for a team that hasn't really had a great running back.
But they just got Christian McCaffrey, so I feel like...
No, I was saying for the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like that made sense for the Dolphins to make that move.
Yeah, I feel like they're... I know they signed Raheem Mostert this offseason and Chase Edmonds, and both of them have been pretty lackluster, if I say so. But
sure. They definitely haven't lived up to what they thought.
Yeah, so I think that Jeff Wilson trade was a really good pickup for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Bradley Chubb pickup was huge. I wasn't really expecting him to go to Miami, but man, they signed him to a big contract too, so they're going to have him for a while, and he's one really promising young player, and I'm excited to see what he does with that defense.
What do you think the ceiling is for the Dolphins this year? Like, do you think that they could win a Super Bowl this year?
No, I don't think they can win a Super Bowl. I think they can... It honestly matters who they play. Because if they play the Chiefs or the Bills in, like, the first or second round, I don't think they're getting past them. But it really... It's all depends on their matchups. Because I think they're a really good team, but that AFC is pretty stacked.
The AFC, I mean... It's kind of funny to say this right now, but there's so much hype around the Dolphins, how good they are. But
yeah.
Right now, they're not even in first place in their division, which is like kind of funny to like say. I mean, second place. Sorry, they're not even second because obviously the Bills are going to be first mm-hmm. place, and that. But they're still behind the Jets right now.
Yeah, that's
like kind of funny to say.
That blows my mind.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But like the Tua, hopefully, if he can stay healthy for the rest of the season. I think the Tua, Tyreek Hill, talking about receivers and quarterbacks, Tua and Tyreek Hill combined this season have been phenomenal when they play together. And, I mean, I feel like in football, if you can go into the playoffs with an offense that is good, you can like find a way to win games.
Oh, yeah. So, what really surprised me, speaking of the Jets... They didn't trade Denzel Mims or Elijah Moore, who both are unhappy with their situations and want out. So I'm really surprised by that. But again, Zach Wilson needs all the help he can get because he's not looking good right now.
That Patriots game, we're talking about Zach Wilson. I think if you told me this was Zach Wilson's last year being a starting quarterback for the Jets, I would be like, yep, that sounds right. Like, he looks really bad. And like a lot of the game, like, he just does not look. I think this pick was a miss. Like, I feel like it's soon we gotta call it.
There's no think. I think it's safe to say it was a very large miss.
He definitely has, like, I was listening to someone talk, I can't remember who now, where he's got like the physical, athletic ability to make these plays, but a lot of the time when he scrambles and he does these wild, like, get around the defender, make a miss, nothing, like, he still, like, then throws an interception.
Yeah.
And just has some of the worst decision making of all time. And just never trusts his check down. Always is gunning it deep somehow. He immediately gives up on the pocket, like, almost every single time it collapses just the tiniest amount. And I just think the Jets, I hate when giving up on young quarterbacks too soon. But just, I feel like I've seen enough after like this. I just feel like I've seen enough.
I think his mechanics are the reason he's like doing really poorly, because you look at some of the throws that he's making and not making. It's really all depends on his footwork and like just his overall mechanics, whether it be torquing the waist, like you see Dak Prescott doing pregame.
His
notorious pregame warm-up. But I mean, you look at it and he doesn't look like he's using his hips at all when he throws, and that's a really big factor.
Nothing to do with decision making.
Oh, decision making is just bad.
Is like by far the worst part of his game. Like, I feel like if he would just, because you see, like, I've seen compilations on YouTube and stuff of just like receivers being open, checkdowns being open, and he just throws it away into like double coverage, and all of a sudden it's picked off.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying like his mechanics are the only problem, but you look at some of the throws, these are easy throws that he's expected to make, and he just can't do it because his mechanics are so off. But again, he always looks for the big play, and it never works out. So
career 12 touchdowns, 16 picks. It just doesn't feel good. Like, it's weird because the Jets are now having a winning record on, like, they're what, 5-3.
I think they're 5-3 now.
They're 5-3. So like they're a good team. So then they're gonna be one of those situations, I feel like, where you're kind of stuck with this quarterback, because you're not bad enough to draft a quarterback who's like great, but like you're not really good enough to like do anything impressive in the playoffs. So you're kind of just stuck with Zach Wilson, which is like the worst place to be.
Well, if you think about it, this was almost the exact position the Eagles were in. They had a quarterback they were a little iffy on. He's got hurt a lot in Carson Wentz. But they were never good enough to pick one of these top quarterbacks, such as Trevor Lawrence or like Zach Wilson, who went second overall. But they waited it out and went second round with Jalen Hurts. And I think we all know how that went. So I feel like if they get the right guy, they get the right guy.
That is true. I mean, the Patriots with Mac Jones, I'm starting to not like Mac Jones very much anymore. Like, talking about like the later quarterback, where like as the Patriots were, it would have been nicer to have a higher draft pick and maybe draft someone better than Mac Jones. Because I feel like as the Patriots, the Mac Jones experience this season has been very different to the Mac Jones experience of the first half of last year. Like, the first half of last year, there was the high, and you were just on it. It was Mac Jones, this guy, he's a rookie, he's coming in, he's playing so well. And then the second half, the season kind of hits, and the defense plays worse, so the Mac plays worse, and then they get embarrassed in Buffalo in the playoffs. And it feels like Mac's been rattled all year this season. And it just, I hate going on a little Patriots rant, but I kind of want to go on a Patriots rant.
No, let it loose.
I want to let something loose from last weekend. I don't understand why we would go into the game not saying who our starting quarterback was, for one, and then Mac Jones gets kind of like he's gonna be the quarterback. This is like 2 weekends ago, actually, the Bears game. I'm still mad about the Bears game, where Mac Jones was not 100%, and then we threw him in there. He makes one bad play, and then Belichick's like, yep, he's done, and put Zappe back in. And Zappe, while he looked good for like two possessions, obviously is not that good either. Neither of them are like great in any terms. But don't make a quarterback controversy if you don't have to. Because then the whole week, all the press is going to talk about is, hey, Bill, who's going to be starting at quarterback this weekend? And then it becomes a distraction all on its own. It feels like if Mac is healthy, you play Mac. And if he makes one interception early, you don't bail after one pick. Because it's normal. Like, I feel like two or three interceptions is the amount where you normally get pulled at. Quarterbacks don't normally get pulled after their first pick, I feel like. That doesn't normally happen.
Well, you say two or three, but we watched Nathan Peterman throw six interceptions in the first half, and they still didn't pull him.
They still didn't pull him. So I don't understand. I feel like that just, because we're talking about like not having confidence a little bit in the quarterbacks at Mac, and I feel like the Patriots a little bit are like not really sure if Mac Jones is their quarterback moving forward. I feel like Bill Belichick has a little bit played into that recently.
Yeah, what's funny is you're talking about how he made one mistake in that with that pick. But if you look back at it, it looks like he hit the sky cam when he looked like he was trying to throw the ball away. And when he did, it hit the sky cam and got like kind of the trajectory got messed
up. I
didn't
know that. That makes me like so much more mad.
And Brisker made that insane one-handed interception.
The same play it felt like why would you start Mac if you're going to pull him after he does like one small thing? And all that says is that you have no confidence in him.
Yeah, it's not a good look for the Patriots at all.
No, and I think moving forward, I don't want to bail on Mac, obviously. It's his second year, and he showed promise in his first year. But there are like certain expectations that Patriots fans have of mm-hmm. their quarterback, obviously, because we were spoiled for 20 years with Tom Brady. But, you know, it'd be nice to just have a quarterback, because the whole thing was Mac doesn't make mistakes last year, but now he's starting to throw those interceptions a little bit more. And I feel like the Patriots, this rant all started because we're talking about teams that have like the like middle of the road quarterback and how it like kind of puts a cap. I feel like Mac at his very peak is not like Super Bowl caliber.
He's not. I think he's average at his peak, honestly.
Like I feel like peak Mac is going to be Kirk Cousins. Like I feel like that is like the hot like his ceiling.
I think that's a good little take, yeah.
And like it's so painful to say because it's like how long do you want to have Kirk Cousins as your quarterback of your team? Like, not forever.
Definitely not.
Like, long-term speaking, you don't want that to be your quarterback. You want to eventually bring in a guy who can bring you to a Super Bowl. So that's why it's been, like, reality this season has kind of, like, sank in for me a little bit. They're like, hey, Mac Jones probably isn't going to be that guy moving forward. So it's kind of, you're stuck in, like, gray water where you have no idea what to do.
Yeah. So now that you got your little Patriots rant, I feel like that's been kept in there for a while.
It has been.
So we got that out of the way. Let's move past this exciting trade deadline and talk about our locks and upsets.
This feels like a good pivot. I was getting too heated on the mic about
so,
Patriots.
Let me hear your locks and upsets, Brady.
So, lock of the week. This is actually so bad because you just said how we're moving away from the Patriots. My lock of the week is the Patriots over the Colts. And it is the lock of all locks with no Jonathan Taylor. Like, the no Jonathan Taylor thing, this Colts team has absolutely nothing. They're not even going to be able to run the ball. They just trade Nyheim Hines to the Bills. So I don't even know who's going to play running back for them this week. I don't even know. I know the Patriots, they're not starting Matt Ryan anymore. So the Patriots are going against a rookie quarterback. Bill Belichick loves to play against rookie quarterbacks. It's a lock. It's a lock of all locks this week.
The plot twist of the century. Talking horrible about the Patriots. And hey, very next, they're my lock of the week.
That's what we do as New England fans. We love to hate our team and then we can't not pick them. What you got?
So my lock, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's the Vikings over the Commanders. They're looking to go, I think it's 7-1 or 8-1. I think it's 7-1. Let me double check real
7-1.
Quick. 7-1. Yeah. But they just get TJ Hockenson. I'm excited to see how they get him going within this offense. But the Vikings are looking really good so far this season. Their only loss is to the undefeated Eagles. And the Commanders are the Commanders.
They're on a three-game win streak.
They are, but they just traded away William Jackson, who was one of their best corners. So I don't see them doing much. Yeah,
no, I agree.
Give me the Vikings.
I think the Vikings have it. The line is really weird on this one, where I think it's the Vikings are favored by 3 points,
mm-hmm.
which feels like oddly low, so it makes you think this Vegas knows something that we don't. Because whenever the line is like off to what I think it is, my brain immediately goes, all right, who's injured? Like, what's going on? Like, what does Vegas know? Which makes me like a little question it, just because Vegas is always right. But I definitely think that the Vikings should win that game.
Yeah, most definitely. So what's your upset?
The upsets this week, honestly, were a little dry. I was looking through them. I didn't have any I loved. The Lions tempted me a little bit over the Packers, but they've broken my heart too many times picking them as my upset. Hard Knocks has me way too obsessed with them. They're not a good team, and I need to remember that. So I went with the Rams over the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneer dumpster fire just, like, continues. I don't love the Rams, but I hate the Buccaneers more. That offensive line is just abysmal on the Buccaneers. They have the worst run game I think I've ever seen from an NFL team. Like, and I mean that so seriously. Like, they just cannot run the ball and just do not run the ball a lot of times. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing down there in Tampa Bay, but it's definitely not working with that run game. But my upset of the week, which is honestly kind of surprising because the line has the Cardinals favored. They're the favorite so far this year. But yes, their record is 3-5, and I get that with the Cardinals. But they got D-Hop back, so they should be looking better. But Seattle just looks like a monster right now. Geno Smith is playing like what was the movie? Space Jam. It's like the alien took his power. He took Russell Wilson's power
back.
So
they tried to write him off.
Geno Smith, he's playing like he could really be a Pro Bowler this year.
He could be a Pro. I mean, Mac Jones was a Pro Bowler last year. The bar is so low to get into the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, so I mean, you got Tyler Lockett, DK. They're looking pretty good, but Kenneth Walker, he is looking amazing. That their draft class might be one of the best draft classes in the NFL right now with Tariq Woolen. I don't know how to pronounce it, but he's looking like he's one of the better corners, not even rookie corners, but better corners in the league. And Kenneth Walker has been on a tear. I'm really excited about the Seattle team, and I think they can really walk away with this win over the Cardinals.
Something that's, I feel like you could make a strong argument for the best two quarterbacks in the NFC this season being the one, I feel like Jalen Hurts has obviously been the best quarterback in the NFC. But I feel like you make an argument Geno Smith has been the second best quarterback in the NFC this season.
Which is crazy to think about.
Which is so crazy to think about.
During the offseason, we thought Drew Locke was going to start over Geno Smith.
When they threw Drew Locke in that, it's like, okay, they're going to try to put Drew Locke and see, because I feel like it was like what Carson Wentz, when Carson Wentz got traded to the Colts, it was like, all right, we're going to see if this guy, if he's just in a different place, if he can play better. But that was not the case at all.
No, I was ready for this season to see, all right, let's see what Drew Locke has. But Geno Smith, he's playing like he can be that guy.
And I feel like the Pete Carroll Coach of the Year conversation, I think it has to happen at some point. I mean, there were talks of him going back to like USC, like college.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of absurd to think about now, because this team is playing very high-level football.
It really is. And it's really starting with that run game with Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker has looked very good recently since, was it Rashad Penny went down with the injury and Kenneth Walker stepped into that role. Kenneth Walker looks amazing.
But I hate to say this, but Rashad Penny's made of glass. All the running backs they've ever had, Chris Carson, Rashad Penny, all of them, they've never been able to stay healthy. It kind of makes me question their training staff. But
Chris Carson was definitely a weird – there was the weird neck injury.
He was so good, but –
it was just such a weird injury that, like, it didn't, like, make – it's one of those injuries where, like, the timetable never really made sense, like, what they were saying it was, I feel like. It was sad when he retired from
the injury. It was. I hate injuries like that, but I'm – so far, Seahawks look like they got their guy.
We're praying for Kenneth Walker to stay healthy.
Exactly.
I really hope we didn't just jinx him. But yeah, Geno Smith, I feel like you could make a strong argument for him being the second best quarterback in the NFC this season. Which is, I feel like, the most bizarre thing I've ever said.
Insane.
I was literally like 3 years ago making fun of the Chargers for having Geno Smith as their backup quarterback. It's like, this guy is just so bad. And I feel so bad for Geno Smith. I feel like the Geno Smith success story, a lot of it goes back to like how much situation matters for quarterbacks.
I think it's a very big deal.
And just being with a good coach, all of a sudden it can make things click. Which is, I want to go back to what I said about Zach Wilson. Maybe Zach Wilson just needs to get out of New York. Maybe it's that. That's the thing with like evaluating quarterbacks with all of these guys. It's like, well, they're playing bad, but if you put them with a good coach, will they look better? It's so hard to evaluate, I feel like, just watching.
What's funny is we all remember where Geno Smith started his career at, the New York Jets. So
Let's see. Jets, I guess the moral of the story is the Jets are the problem, and any quarterback on the Jets would be good somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moral of the story. All right, so we'll be back with some NBA talk after this. This has been the Steel Injection.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back with the 90.7 The Capstone. This is the Steel Injection. My name is Brady. I'm joined here with Connor. We just broke down our NFL news from the week, but now it's time to move into the NBA. And I feel like the biggest news of the week in the Haas controversy has been the Brooklyn Nets so far, as they always are.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you can expect them in the news every other week because you either talk about Kyrie and whatever is going on with him recently, which is, it sucks to see what he's doing, or the Nets with their coaching situations in their front office.
Ben Simmons' injury. A little comic relief right there. Ben Simmons is already having another injury scare, which I feel like if you take that much time off basketball, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you really can do about it.
The Nets' whole situation, I feel like Kyrie Irving just finds ways to be a distraction for this team.
It's like you come up with different ways. You have one situation 1 week and they solve it. Okay, we're good. Very next week, he comes up with a whole different situation.
And they all come out of nowhere.
Like, exactly.
You can never see any of it coming.
You think you settled it and okay, we can get our chemistry down. And he's like, let's just throw another rock in the road.
Let me go promote this movie that has tons of anti-Semitic views throughout the whole thing.
And then not apologize for it.
It was so strange because he had like a full week where like all he had to do was come out and say like, hey, I didn't really realize what I was posting. I want to apologize for promoting a film that has anti-Semitic beliefs. That's my bad. I'm sorry if I promoted any hate towards the Jewish community. I apologize. That's all he had to say. And it was that easy.
He couldn't do it.
It was that easy. It was so easy for him to just apologize and this could be over and they could just move forward and it would just be like another weird thing that Kyrie Irving was like doing with social media. Because he does weird things with like his, I follow him on Instagram. He's always posting like kind of like funky stuff. Like that's kind of what he does. So if he just got in front of it and apologized, it would have been over so fast.
Yeah, what's funny is I remember I was doing laundry one day and I get a notification to look at my phone and it's ESPN and it's just Woj saying he stops short of an apology and I'm like, what are you talking about? How can you do that?
It makes no sense.
I just look at it and I'm like, you can't just sit here and say nothing about what you just promoted, the anti-Semitic stuff like that, and then just be like, no big deal or whatever. And then a couple of days later, he like has a full press release saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do all this. Like, you clearly didn't learn from your actions. You had to write that up because of a crisis management team or whatever. They had to let you do that. And now he's being suspended, and we don't know what's going to happen from here.
It's so strange. Like, I feel like all of this like Kyrie Irving stuff is just... He's just such a distraction, I feel like, at this point, like, to his team. Like, at a certain point, when do you tell the guy just to kind of, like, go home if you're the Nets?
I feel like it should have happened a long time ago.
Because it's just, how long, like, if you're on a sports team and you got this guy next to you who, like, every day when you show up, you have no idea, like, what's going to happen with him. Like, that's, like, a lot to deal with.
Yeah, you don't know how he's going to react to certain situations.
You don't know how he's going to react to certain things. And then, like... I can just imagine if you're, like, one of these Nets guys, like, when you're, like, going home to, like, see your family, all your friends are asking you, like,
oh, yeah,
Kyrie, it's just, you gotta be, like, so sick of, like, everyone asking and talking and all the buzz around the team is what Kyrie's up to. Like, you just have to be sick of it at a certain point.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Kevin Durant, which is weird to say because I'm not a big fan of Kevin Durant for being a snake and going to the Warriors, but...
Ruining basketball for 3 years.
Exactly, but you look at it, I mean, Kevin Durant, he's... Really, I don't want to say by himself, but like
the Kevin Durant Kyrie Irving like friendship is also like kind of strange. I don't understand the dynamic.
It kind of is.
It seemed like they were better friends when they
weren't teammates.
And then when like they first became teammates and Kevin was injured, it was kind of like, yeah, these we got the best buds. But I feel like we've kind of lost, like, the best buds narrative a little yeah. bit. Of, like, just two best friends hooping together against the world. And now it kind of feels like this certain thing, like Kevin Durant kind of had to separate himself a little bit. Because obviously he can't associate himself mm-hmm. with, like, those kind of views. So I feel like... I just feel like the friendship, there has to be a toll taken at, like, a certain point.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if he brought back his request for a trade, because you look at it, he's a guy that usually, like, runs, like, he does everything kind of on his lonesome. He's yeah. not, like, a big, like, team guy.
He's not, like, he doesn't like to be a vocal leader. That's not what, that's, the, like, the exact opposite. He wants to show up to work with, like, no noise. He hates the, he literally wants no noise just to show up and play basketball.
That's why he had a burner account, so he didn't bring any attention to him.
And it's the exact opposite of what Kyrie does every single season.
Yeah, you look at this. I mean, it's a bunch of clowns on one team. You got Kyrie Irving, who is being the distraction that he is. And then you're like, okay, maybe we can rely on our other star. Oh, wait, he's either hurt or he's scared to shoot the ball. And... if you can't do that, then go out there and defend. But he can't defend without fouling. So it's like...
Well, I mean, part of the fouling is that he's the only one on that team who can play defense.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of the roster just does not play
anything. It's a very so poorly
kinda,
built
it's
roster.
It's kind of like, all right, let's just, like, switch on to Ben. If we get Ben foul trouble, this team has absolutely no one else to play defense. So we're going to go at Ben every single time.
Yeah. So Ben Simmons, we don't know where his head's at. I mean, he might retire in the next coming years. And then you're like, okay, who is our leader that is going to bring us all together? Oh, wait, it's Steve Nash, who was one of the worst coaches in the NBA. And
I wouldn't say he's one of the worst. I think he was put in an absolutely impossible situation.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he was put in a possible situation, but as a Nets owner, why would you hire a guy that's never coached at any level in his life and be like, hey, be the head coach of our NBA team? I'm like,
I mean, I think... I'm trying to remember right. I'm pretty sure they hired him before all of the Kyrie vaccine stuff, right?
Oh, no. They did. They did.
That
they
was
did.
Before. So he was the coach there 2 seasons, and this was entering season 3, or was it
They signed him the year they signed Kevin Durant and Kyrie. That was the year Kevin Durant is coming off his torn Achilles.
That was the year. So that was the year they signed him. That was
the year before. But
I remember that.
You sign him, you say, no, we're going to stick with Steve Nash. Kevin Durant had a meeting with him and just like, okay, we cleared everything over. 7 games into the season, he's out of here.
Which also is like the strangest move of all time, because it feels like if you knew that like he was on the... It feels like he should have been gone in the offseason.
Yeah, it's such a weird kind of thing to do the offseason, then start the season and be like, ah, you're fired.
And it's like pretty... I mean, granted, there were some bad losses, but also I feel like the fingers have been pointing everywhere, but eventually they got to go to ownership.
No one wants to point the finger at themselves. They're always blaming someone else or something else.
It's like this team constructed the way it is, just... It's a good roster, but they can't play defense.
I don't even think it's a good roster. They have like 2 good players, and then, hey... Go out there and be yourself.
Theoretically, they have the one, the two, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, which the thought behind that is you have 2 of the best scorers. Mm-hmm. The problem is you have 2 of the best scorers in isolation, which makes it kind of hard for like anyone else to get anything else going.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is like the sole cause of this problem. Because Steve Nash obviously couldn't just like impose his will of like, all right, we're going to get crazy ball movement now. Mm-hmm. That's just like, you as a rookie head coach, I feel like it's hard to just come in and talk about that.
Yeah.
Get everyone to buy on like that same page.
I'm looking at some of these players, and I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time T.J. Warren played an NBA game. It was the bubble when he dropped 50. He became like Kobe Bryant.
Played a minute for the Nets this season?
I haven't seen him on the court.
I don't think T.J. Warren's played a minute for them.
But you got T.J. Warren just, I don't even know what he's doing at this point.
It's got a lot. I like Claxton to an extent. Like a lot of these players, I like to an extent where it's like I like them, but I don't
like
love them. Like Royce O'Neal, I think is fine.
Yeah,
he's a fine player.
He's a good role player.
Joe Harris can't play defense, but can shoot the ball pretty well.
Don't even know the last time Joe Harris played an NBA game.
He's
either.
Been playing this season a little bit.
He has.
He's been playing. He's back from his injury. It's just like a lot of these guys are really one-dimensional players, which is where Nick Claxton. He's a big who can rebound, can't shoot, can't make free throws. Royce O'Neal can play perimeter defense, can't really do much other than that. Joe Harris can shoot. Patty Mills can shoot. But those guys can't play defense. Like, if you have your three best shooters of Joe Harris, Patty Mills, and Seth Curry on the court, none of the three of them can play defense.
Yeah.
And you have no rim protection, because Claxton can't protect a rim. He can rebound the ball, right? Can't rim protect.
Yeah, it's funny, because you told me what Nick Claxton's good at, rebounding and defense. Sounds exactly like Ben Simmons. He can't shoot the ball, shoot free throws, and they have him starting together. That's not a smart decision. It's just there's no spacing.
Many of these guys have just such big holes in their game that are like not. And then there's the Kyrie Irving who just goes ice cold sometimes, and just it seems like just isn't like there.
Some nights it's either he's the best player in the world and he can never miss a shot, or there's times where it's like let him shoot.
We just saw where he had a four point game after like I want to say like six straight 25 plus games, which is. It's just very bizarre. I feel like the worst thing that they could have done for this team was to bring in another distraction, which they have done with they're saying they're going to hire Ime Udoka.
Hey.
Which is just mind-boggling to me for a team that I feel like would want to stay on the down low for a little bit and kind of chill out and go under the radar and not have more media scrutiny. Then brings in a head coach who's got this whole controversy going on where not everyone really knows exactly what happened, but we know something not good happened.
Yeah.
It baffles me why they would bring him in.
I mean, I guess this is why they are a poverty franchise. And
that's how somehow the Knicks still have all the fans, even when the Knicks don't really haven't had the stars.
Yeah, the Knicks don't have stars, but they're not pathetic like this.
I feel like the Ime Udoka signing, I just want to go back. Like, I feel like that was just the worst possible thing they could have done.
Exactly. You need to get a guy that causes no distractions. He's there to, hey, we're going to rally.
No nonsense.
We're going to rally the team together.
But he's bringing in a whole lot of baggage from Boston that you don't want any part of.
It's, oh, man. I love not being a Nets fan. But so let's move on from the Nets. I want to talk about something else because this, I could talk about this all day. There's one thing I need to say about the 76ers.
Get it out.
Well, okay, there's multiple things. But Joel Embiid, I like what he's kind of merging into, as in like condition-wise, he's playing better. He had a really good game against the Bulls, but now all of a sudden he's either hurt or he's sick. So I'm like, pick one or the other. Let's get back on the court. James Harden, foot strain, he's out for a month. I'm like, great, Tyrese Maxey's gonna get the shots. But oh wait, we have Doc Rivers as our coach, which can't do anything, makes no in-game adjustments, he plays the wrong people at the wrong time, and I'm just like, come on, do something. He needs to be fired right away. I was so happy when we hired him. I was like, yes, he's gonna make us like Magic Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons is gone. He can't do anything. So we're like, okay, let's just fast forward that era. Let's do Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. Well, they're both hurt. And last year didn't look good because of Doc Rivers. Get him gone. Put Sam Cassell as the head coach. And we can all have a little great day.
It does. I feel like I thought Doc was going to be the first coach to get fired.
We all thought that. But
I thought Doc was going to go before Steve Nash. Like, if you told me before the season, like, which coach I think is out first, I would have said Doc Rivers, I feel like. Just because he's just not – he just doesn't do a good job at his job, which is, like, the easiest way.
Yeah, I mean –
the basic way to put it, but he just doesn't do a good job.
Why should he be fired? Because he's not good at his job.
He's not very good at his job. I feel like the James Harden injury, while I don't think it's going to be the worst thing short-term, because mm-hmm. I think Tyrese Maxey can step into that role and be fine, like I said last week. But long term, you do have to figure out how to get those players to play together at a high level. So I feel like that does kind of hold them back from meshing as a group. Because if Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid play well in this stretch, Granted, that's a good thing. But you're going to have to put James Harden back into that mix, and that totally changes the dynamic of, like, the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
So it does – I feel like it holds them back from kind of figuring out what team they're going to be.
It kind of does. Ah, man, this team.
Like, I don't think they're going to all of a sudden lose a bunch of games because of it.
I love how the city of Philadelphia, you have their soccer team in the championship. You have their baseball team in the World Series. You have the Philadelphia Eagles 8-0. The Flyers are looking decent. And you have the Sixers, who looks like a dumpster fire.
And
they
I feel
are
like
disappointing.
The expectations for the Sixers may have been, like, the highest of, like, the of like these teams, like, mm-hmm. coming into the season. Like, I feel like the Sixers definitely had, like, they were champion, like, people, this is a team that could and should be contending for a championship. But it feels like that's already a 4-5 start. It feels already slipping a little bit.
Okay.
Like, I feel like I'm not saying that they're out. I'm just saying I feel like the, like, pieces are being placed for them to kind of find a way to not be able to be contending.
Well,
and I feel like it's James Harden not firing Doc, still having Doc, and the James Harden injury are just two things that I feel like stuff's just going to keep piling on for them.
I remember last year, right? Your beloved Boston Celtics. They were one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference all the way
to watch.
All the way up to the All-Star break
or cup. It was January, middle of the.
Oh, because I remember they were on like a 2 or 3 game winning streak.
It was like the middle of January. I'm pretty sure we blew some big lead. It was to the Knicks. We blew some like 20 point lead to the Knicks. And that was, like, the moment we changed.
I remember Marcus Smart was yelling at everybody. No one wanted to do anything. It was all iso ball. Ime Udoka looked like he doesn't belong in the NBA. And all of a sudden, snap.
It does.
Thanos snap.
It is. That is true. We can't overreact to anything too soon. That is a fair argument. Let's be real, though. The Celtics turnaround last year, that doesn't just happen, though.
It doesn't.
Like, that kind of turnaround, like, that does not – like, that was a – That just doesn't happen. Like, there's no way to put it. Like, that just does not happen for NBA teams.
But it shows it can happen. And I still have hope in this season.
Philly fans, their delusional hope, they'll always have it. This has been 90.7. This has been the student section. I hope everyone has a great Friday night.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.